Welcome to Ujjayini.com, your daily current affairs companion for UPSC and State PCs preparation. A significant visit by Prime Minister Narendra Modi to the United Arab Emirates has yielded landmark agreements, including a crucial deal for crude storage in India's strategic petroleum reserves, setting the stage for a deeper strategic partnership between the two nations. First, let us look at the details of this visit. Prime Minister Modi made a strategic stopover in Abu Dhabi on the first leg of his five-nation tour, which includes the Netherlands, Sweden, Norway, and Italy, from May 15 to 20, 2026. This visit resulted in several key agreements, including an ISPRL ADNOC MOU for crude storage in India's strategic petroleum reserves, an IOCL ADNOC LPG supply pact, a strategic defense partnership framework, and significant investment commitments of $5 billion from the UAE into India. What makes this significant is the ISPRL ADNOC MOU, which allows ADNOC to store up to 30 million barrels of crude in India's strategic petroleum reserves at Visakhapatnam in Andhra Pradesh and Chandikhol in Odisha, with reciprocal arrangements for Indian crude storage at Fujairah in the UAE. Additionally, the IOCL ADNOC LPG pact involves a long-term supply agreement, given that the UAE already supplies approximately 40% of India's LPG imports. Building on this, another key agreement is the Cochin Shipyard Drydocks World MOU, which aims to establish a ship repair cluster at Vadinar under the Maritime Development Fund scheme. Furthermore, the investment commitments include $1 billion from ADIA into NIIF, $1 billion from IHC into Sammaan Capital, and $3 billion from Emirates NBD into RBL Bank. This backdrop is set against rising West Asia tensions and a spike in the Strait of Hormuz war risk premium, which has led to a 24.71% year-on-year increase in the fuel and power index in April 2026. Now, let us lock in the key facts and numbers for your revision. The Indian Strategic Petroleum Reserves Limited, or ISPRL, holds India's strategic crude oil reserve at Visakhapatnam, Mangaluru, Padur, and Chandikhol. ADNOC, or the Abu Dhabi National Oil Company, is one of the world's largest oil companies and is owned by the Abu Dhabi government. The India-UAE Comprehensive Economic Partnership Agreement, or CEPA, has been in force since May 2022 and was the first such agreement signed by India with a GCC country. The UAE is among India's top five investors, with cumulative FDI of approximately $19 billion. The India-UAE Comprehensive Strategic Partnership was upgraded in 2017 and further elevated in 2022. Moving on to the next topic, India hosted the BRICS Foreign Ministers meeting at Bharat Mandapam in New Delhi on May 14 to 15, 2026, under India's 2026 BRICS chairship. External Affairs Minister S. Jaishankar chaired the two-day session, which was attended by key foreign ministers, including Russia's Sergei Lavrov and Iran's Abbas Araghchi. The discussions centered on multipolar governance, UN reform, and Global South priorities. What does this mean for BRICS? The meeting shapes the agenda for the BRICS Leaders Summit, which is scheduled to take place on September 12 to 13, 2026, in New Delhi. BRICS now has 10 full members, including the original members Brazil, Russia, India, China, and South Africa, and the new members Egypt, Ethiopia, Iran, Saudi Arabia, and the UAE, who joined in 2024. The geopolitical backdrop of West Asia tensions and the Russia-Ukraine conflict dominated the discussions, with key agenda items including UN Security Council reform, debt relief for the Global South, de-dollarization, and the BRICS payment system. Now, let us lock in the key facts and numbers for your revision. BRICS originally started as BRIC in 2009, with South Africa joining in 2010. The 2024 expansion added 5 new members to the grouping. India has chaired BRICS 4 times in 2012, 2016, 2021, and 2026. Bharat Mandapam is India's premier international convention center in Pragati Maidan, New Delhi, and has hosted several key international events, including the G20 summit in 2023. The UN Security Council reform is a key agenda item, with India being part of the G4, which includes Germany, Japan, and Brazil, pushing for permanent membership reform. With that background in place, let us look at the next topic. Prime Minister Narendra Modi arrived in The Hague, Netherlands, on 15 May 2026 for a 2-day official visit, which is the second leg of his 5-nation tour. The visit is set to formalize a strategic partnership between India and the Netherlands, which will be only the second such partnership India has signed with a European nation, after France and Germany. The Netherlands is India's 4th-largest investor, with a cumulative FDI of approximately $55.6 billion. What makes this significant is the potential for cooperation in key sectors such as semiconductors, water management, green hydrogen, AI, defense, and precision agriculture. The India-Netherlands bilateral trade stands at approximately $27.8 billion, and the Netherlands is home to ASML, the world's sole maker of EUV lithography machines, which are critical to advanced semiconductor fabrication. This aligns with India's interest in developing its domestic semiconductor industry under the India Semiconductor Mission. Now, let us lock in the key facts and numbers for your revision. The India Semiconductor Mission was launched in February 2024 with an outlay of 76,000 crore rupees, aiming to establish a domestic semiconductor fab ecosystem. ASML is a Netherlands-based company that has a monopoly on EUV machines, which are essential for producing chips below 7 nanometers. The Netherlands is a global leader in delta management, which is relevant for India's flood control and coastal protection efforts. The Indo-Dutch Joint Working Committee on Water has been active since 2013. Moving on to the next topic, the India-Oman Comprehensive Economic Partnership Agreement, or CEPA, which was signed in December 2025, will come into force from 1 June 2026, following Oman's ratification via royal decree. This agreement gives India duty-free access to 98.08% of Oman's tariff lines, covering 99.38% of India's export value. What does this mean for India's trade with Oman? The agreement secures tariff elimination on key exports such as textiles, engineering goods, pharmaceuticals, marine products, and fruits and vegetables. The intra-corporate transferee ceiling has been raised from 20 to 50% for Indian professionals in Oman. This is the first FTA to formally recognize Indian professionals in engineering, medicine, IT, education, and consulting. The bilateral trade between India and Oman stands at $10.61 billion in the financial year 2024-25, up from $8.94 billion in the financial year 2023-24. Now, let us lock in the key facts and numbers for your revision. The India-UAE CEPA, which was signed in May 2022, was India's first CEPA with a GCC nation. The India-Oman CEPA is the second. Other India FTAs in force include the India-ASEAN FTA, the India-South Korea CEPA, the India-Japan CEPA, the India-Singapore SECA, the India-Mauritius SECPA, the India-Australia ECTA, and the India-EFTA TEPA. Oman is a member of the GCC and has a significant position at the entrance to the Gulf. With that background in place, let us look at the next topic. The Cabinet Committee on Economic Affairs, chaired by Prime Minister Narendra Modi, has approved India's first semi-high-speed railway project, a 134 km double-line corridor from Ahmedabad to Dholera, at a total project cost of 20,667 crore rupees. The line will connect the Dholera Special Investment Region with Ahmedabad at operational speeds of 200 km per hour. What makes this significant is the design speed of 220 km per hour and the target completion date of 2030-31. The project will use indigenously designed technology and will connect the Dholera Sur, the Dholera International Airport, and the Lothal National Maritime Heritage Complex. The project will cover approximately 284 villages and a population of around 5 lakh people. The implementing agency for this project is the National High Speed Rail Corporation Limited. Now, let us lock in the key facts and numbers for your revision. The Dholera Sur is India's first and largest greenfield smart city under the Delhi-Mumbai Industrial Corridor. The National High Speed Rail Corporation Limited is also implementing the Mumbai-Ahmedabad High Speed Rail Project. India classifies 160 to 200 km per hour as semi-high speed and 300 plus kmph as high speed. The Cabinet Committee on Economic Affairs is chaired by the Prime Minister and approves large infrastructure projects. Lothal is an ancient Harappan port city and is part of the UNESCO tentative list. Moving on to the next topic, N. Rangasamy of the All India NR Congress has been sworn in as the Chief Minister of Puducherry for a record fifth term. The NDA coalition, which includes the ANRC and the BJP, secured 18 of 30 seats in the May 2026 Puducherry Assembly elections. What does this mean for Puducherry's governance? The cabinet includes Malladi Krishna Rao from the ANRC and A. Namashivayam from the BJP. Puducherry has a unique constitutional status as a union territory with a legislature, as per Article 239 of the Constitution of India. Puducherry has four legislative districts, each an enclave within a different Indian state. Now, let us lock in the key facts and numbers for your revision. Article 239 was inserted by the 14th Constitutional Amendment Act in 1962, permitting the creation of a legislature and council of ministers for Puducherry. The ANRC was founded by N. Rangasamy in 2011 after splitting from the Congress. The Puducherry Assembly has 33 members, with 30 elected and 3 nominated by the centre. Puducherry has a French heritage, with French being an official language, and falls under Entry 1 of List 2 for most purposes, but the centre has wide reserve powers via the Lieutenant Governor. With that background in place, let us look at the next topic. The Reserve Bank of India has removed the requirement for prior approval for tie-up arrangements between authorized dealer category I banks and non-bank entities facilitating outward remittance services. The revised framework is issued under the Foreign Exchange Management Act, 1999. What does this mean for outward remittances? Non-bank platforms, such as apps and websites, can now partner with AD category I banks for overseas money transfers without prior clearance from the RBI. The AD banks remain fully responsible for FEMA compliance, KYC norms, cyber security, and consumer protection. The liberalized remittance scheme cap is $250,000 per individual per financial year. Now, let us lock in the key facts and numbers for your revision. The Foreign Exchange Management Act, 1999, regulates foreign exchange transactions and replaced the FERA, 1973. Authorized dealer category I banks are scheduled commercial banks authorized by the RBI to deal in foreign exchange. The liberalized remittance scheme was launched in 2004 and allows individuals to remit up to $250,000 per year for current and capital account transactions. The RBI's Regulatory Sandbox and the Payments Vision 2025 framework govern new age remittance players. Finally, the United Nations observes International Day of Families annually on 15th May, with the 2026 theme being Families, Inequalities and Child Well-being. This highlights how widening economic and social disparities affect family structures and children's development outcomes globally. India connects this to flagship schemes under the Mission Parivar Vikas and Poshan Abhiyan framework. What does this mean for family welfare in India? The Pradhan Mantri Matru Vandana Yojana provides a cash transfer of 5,000 rupees for the first live birth. The Poshan Abhiyan aims to reduce stunting, underweight, anemia, and low birth weight by 2%, 2%, 3%, and 2% per year, respectively. The Beti Bachao Beti Padhao scheme addresses the declining child sex ratio. Now, let us lock in the key facts and numbers for your revision. The Pradhan Mantri Matru Vandana Yojana is a maternity benefit scheme under the Maternity Benefit Amendment Act, 2017. The Poshan Abhiyan was launched on 8th March 2018 and targets reducing stunting, underweight, anemia, and low birth weight. The Beti Bachao Beti Padhao scheme was launched on 22nd January 2015 and addresses the declining child sex ratio. The Sustainable Development Goals, or SDGs, include 17 goals adopted by the UN in 2015, with a timeline of 2030. The National Family Health Survey Round 5, or NFHS 5, was conducted in 2019-21 and provides data on family welfare and health outcomes. In conclusion, these developments highlight the significance of strategic partnerships, economic agreements, and social welfare schemes in shaping India's growth and development. As India continues to navigate the complex global landscape, it is essential to stay informed about these key issues and their implications for the country's future.